Well, I wonder if you enjoyed that opening carol we sung as we gathered this evening. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. I guess for many of us it describes how we feel on Christmas Eve. Nice to be with family, nice to be expecting a day off, a day of presents, a day of feasting, food and drink that we enjoy. And the scene perhaps in that carol is of people almost sort of skipping their way to come and contemplate who Jesus might be. And as we sang the third verse of that opening carol, we made a pledge as well. We made a pledge that we too would thither bend our joyful footsteps, whatever that means exactly. But something to do with joyfully coming to think about Christmas together. But I wonder, did we sing this carol with a slightly aspirational tone? You see, it's comforting to pretend that we are joyful and triumphant. But do we really feel like that? If we look back over the past few days and weeks and months, maybe the past year, is it really how we felt? A friend of mine recently posted on Twitter, "O come, all ye faithless, joyless and defeated. O come ye to Bethlehem." I stopped in my tracks as I read it. It seems so out of keeping with the normal Christmas cheer. But as I thought about it a bit more, I realised maybe this does fit in with the message of Christmas. It might not be the picture of Christmas we imagine, not the comforting picture of all the good things. Well, seeing as he had 198 characters still to play with, he wrote a bit more. "Christmas is for the weary, for the messed up, and for the broken. If your life isn't Instagrammable, Christmas is for you." He's referring to that general trend on Instagram or other social media to present only the best version of our lives. It's comforting to us to do that, isn't it? To sort of create a version of our lives where we're always smiling, we're always in the right places with the right people. And it's just the sort of edited highlight reel of our lives. And it's not just reality at its best. Sometimes it's reality through a filter to make it even better. Those memories can seem even better than they actually were at the time. Or maybe you're not on Instagram, but we all know that feeling, one way or another, of trying to compare our lives to the lives we see elsewhere that seem so perpetually happy, sorted. And we can end up feeling something of a failure when we start to compare ourselves to that. Perhaps we find it hard to feel truly pleased for others when we receive those inserts into Christmas cards, the Christmas round robins that speak of wonderful holidays that have been enjoyed, brilliant and successful children, and suggest a harmonious family life, free from any conflict, trouble, or shame. Weary, messed up, and broken. Do any of these words resonate with the way that we're feeling about the year that's just passed? Well, as we heard in our first reading from Isaiah, there's some news for us at Christmas. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Writing about 700 years before that first Christmas, Isaiah makes a promise, an incredible promise, about a child who would come. And he promises that Jesus' birth would be like a great light coming into the midst of darkness, weariness, brokenness. It's a remarkable promise. And then, after Jesus' birth, whilst he was still only 40 days or 6 weeks old, we heard that second reading. We heard of Simeon at the temple taking the baby into his arms and saying some remarkable things about such a small, tiny, wriggling child. Look at that reading in Luke chapter 2. "This was the child that Simeon had been waiting for, and he was sure that once he had the child in his hands, this truly was God's rescuer, God's saviour." Verse 25, "He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for a time when things would be made right." And as he held the babe in his arms, he knew the Saviour had come. He says that in the song that he spontaneously bursts into. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. He could die happy, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And then here again, like in Isaiah, we have the imagery of light. Verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Simeon's quoting from Isaiah and saying, what was promised in Isaiah has come. And here it is, right in front of us. Well, I think the two ways in which this light is promised affects us. The first way is it shows us who God is. It's a light that shows us who God is. That's the great claim of Christmas. The claim of Christmas is that God is not simply a distant, disengaged figure, like the sort of stern headmaster hidden away in his study. No, he's entered this world. He's shown himself to us. When we see Jesus, we meet God. That's the claim of Christmas. The light of Jesus showing us the Creator. Have we really taken that claim seriously? Have we really investigated whether that bold, scandalous claim could really be true? Could Jesus really be God with us? If we're feeling at all weary, messed up, or broken, should we not at least investigate whether it could really be God himself who came to us in the midst of that brokenness, came promising to be a saviour, a rescuer? That's the first way in which God's light affects us, shows us who God is. And the second way spoken of here that Jesus' light affects us is it shows us who we are. Some rather interesting things are said about Jesus as Simeon holds the babe in his arms. Verse 34, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. It's a bit different to the normal, oh, he's lovely, he's got your eyes, or the goo goo gaga that we might say over a newborn baby. Now, he's essentially saying this baby will be a divisive figure. It seems a strange thing to say to a newborn baby. Well, the reason that Simeon says this is that God's light shines light on us, shows us who we are. Maybe over the past year you felt like saying in one place or another, maybe an institution or in the country as a whole or just in family life, felt like crying, please could someone come and sort out this mess? It's the hope that we have for any new leader, whether that's in a local club or society or at the highest level of politics. Desperate for someone who can come and sort out the mess. But for someone to sort out the mess, we need to know what the mess is. And wonderfully, that's how God's light shines, revealing what's there. Wonderfully, Jesus did that as he lived his life on earth, teaching in a way that revealed what was in people's hearts. And as people listened to him, looking into their own hearts, to see where the mess was. That's the promise in verse 35. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You see, some light is comforting, the light of a lighthouse or a beacon, and we think, oh, we know where we are. The comfort of seeing a light, a guiding light. But there are other times when we don't feel ready for light to shine. Other times we want to stay in the darkness. We don't really want it all to be revealed. I wonder if you've ever been at a party or eating out somewhere, and you're enjoying the sort of low atmospheric lighting, and then all of a sudden, the house lights come up, and it's a bit of a shock. Suddenly you notice all the things you'd rather not know about. You notice how sticky the floor is. You notice all the food kind of hidden away that hasn't been picked up, the sticky mess from spilt drinks, or maybe the mould on the walls. And you rather like the low lighting. It hides all of those things. Can we like this with our own hearts too? The uncomfortable sense of light shining and exposing things we'd rather keep hidden. But if God is truly to deal with a mess, we need to know it's there. We need to be ready then to hand it over to him. That's why Simeon says of this child that he'll be a divisive figure. He'll reveal what's in people's hearts. Problems ignored most likely won't go away. And often they'll just get worse. Well, perhaps you're here this evening and you feel slightly like the fairy tale of Christmas is fine. But that taking on the Christian faith as a reality actually will take you away from seeing life as it is and take you into that sort of fairy tale. But C.S. Lewis, the brilliant academic at Magdalen College, known for the Chronicles of Narnia, said this, quite the opposite. He wrote of his own journey from atheism to faith. "I've passed from a dream to waking. Christian theology can fit into science, art, morality, and the sub-Christian religions. The scientific point of view cannot fit into any of these things, not even science itself. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." Ever since life's journey took me from simply being an occasional churchgoer to actually being a Christian believer, I can say that that's been true of my life. Jesus has illuminated the world around me and my own heart, the things I'd rather not see but need to see in my own heart, showing me uncomfortable truths about myself and the world around me. Well, the carol we'll sing at the end of this service, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," is familiar to many of you, I'm sure. But I wonder if you've ever paused to consider that last verse and whether you really believe it. "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild, he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king." If these claims are true, then they are utterly life-changing. Will you stop to consider them this Christmas? Andy's mentioned the Christianity Explore course in the new year. Please do make use of that or similar things where you might live elsewhere. And do, if you'd like to, take one of these leaflets, Christmas presents, with you at the end to have a read. I'm going to say a short prayer, and then we're going to sing a carol of celebration, Ding Dong Merrily on High. Let's say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this claim, the claim of light coming into darkness, light that we need, light that comes to a broken, weary world. Please, Lord, help us this Christmas to consider whether we really can accept the claims about Christmas, whether this really could be true, and to see it as life-changing truth. For your name's sake, amen.